Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There once was a woman from Samaria. She is a sinful woman with a sketchy past. She doesn't seem to have much luck in relationships, for she's had 5 husbands and is working on a potential 6th one. She is a social outcast and has no one to go with her to the well to draw some water, for that activity was usually done in groups. And on top of it all, she is missing something in this life, but she's not sure about what it is or how to get it. But one day, everything changes for this woman as she meets a Jewish man at a well. His name, Jesus. And it seems that something has brought the two together. Jesus' popularity was growing at a huge rate. It was growing so much that he was baptizing and making more disciples than John the Baptist. And this was beginning to get the attention of the Pharisees. So he decides to depart from Judea and go to Galilee. But to do so, he needs to go through Samaria. A Jew traveling through Samaria in that day would be like traveling through a bad neighborhood today. When going through a bad neighborhood, what do? You lock the doors on your car, you don't stop, and you keep on going, and you don't talk with anyone. But the disciples and Jesus decide to take a break at a town called Sychar. And Jesus is tired and exhausted from the journey, and he decides to stay back at the well as the disciples go into town to buy some food. And as he is sitting there, a woman from Samaria is coming out to the well to draw some water. And as she is doing so, he decides to strike up a conversation with her. And he tells her, "Give me a drink." The sound of his voice surprises and shocks the woman, for Jews never, ever associate with Samaritans, for there's a long and storied racial tension between these two groups of people. It started when Assyria had captured the northern tribes of Israel and brought them into exile. They didn't want the land to be unoccupied, so they sent some foreigners there to intermingle with the leftover Israelites. And that created the Samaritans. But these people brought with them their fake gods and their other traditions, and they put it all together to make a new religion with different books of the Bible as well. They only used the first 5 and discarded the rest. The Samaritans worshipped at Mount Gerizim rather than in Jerusalem. And this greatly annoyed the Jews. The Jews viewed them as impure, lowly, and just flat out wrong. Later, rabbis taught that if one would eat bread from a Samaritan, it would be the same as eating pig's flesh, and that it would make you unclean. There's no love lost between these two groups of people. But the woman's surprise doesn't stop there. Men in those days didn't talk with women in public, even if it was your wife or your sister. And doing so for a rabbi would be even a scandalous thing and discrediting for his ministry. Jesus talking with this woman is a strange and bold thing, but his love and concern for her overcome those racial and social boundaries that are in place. His love doesn't care about those things. And as he is talking with the woman, he notices that she's missing something. And he's willing to offer it to her. He tells her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." He offers her the Holy Spirit, that true living water, that alone can quench the thirst of the soul and that brings salvation. And she is shocked and confused at his offer. She understands him quite literally, for she asks, "Sir, where is your bucket? For the well is deep, very deep. It's 100 feet deep to be exact." And she's even kind of put off by Jesus, since he implies that he is greater than Jacob and can give something greater than he had gave them and their descendants. She thinks he can't possibly be greater and give something greater. Can he? And so Jesus reels her in to the point that he wants to make. He compares the two waters and tells her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water that I will give him will never be thirsty forever. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. His words and offer intrigue the woman, and so she says, sir, give me this water so that I will never have to be thirsty or have to come here to draw some water. And the convenience of this water is great in her mind. She thinks about how great it would be to not have to walk a half mile to the well, toss in the bucket, draw it up, and then carry the water back. And you really can't blame her. Imagine the convenience of never having to go to Cub again, or buying bottled water at Sam's Club, or ordering a drink at a restaurant. That would certainly help lower the bill. But her request reveals something about human nature, a request that Jesus knows all too well. Thirst isn't the problem for this lady. She's never satisfied with this life, nor has she ever been. She wants fullness, completion, and satisfaction, and she thinks that physical thirst will quench this longing and emptiness that she has. But she needs something different, something that this world cannot give. And Jesus helps her to realize that. He helps her to connect the dots with a simple request. He says, go, call your husband, and then come back here. It sounds like a simple request for such a great and life-changing water. But she responds, I have no husband. And she's right. She's had five, and the current one that she is with is not her husband. Her dirty laundry and sinful life is out in the open. He reveals her sin and guilt and shame, and she confessed it with her four little words. If she wants the completion and satisfaction that Jesus can give, she needs to see her sin and wretchedness. She needs to see that real need that she has. Only then is she able to see and understand what Jesus alone and only can give. Only he can quench that thirst. And as she sees her needs for grace and salvation, it leads her to ask the man, who she now sees as a prophet, where she can be cleansed and forgiven. She wants to know where she can go to find a gracious God. So she asks, can he be found at Mount Gerizim or at Jerusalem? She figures, why not ask a prophet? But the answer is right in front of her. What she is looking for in life is him, and right before her, he answers, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. He explains what true worship really entails, that it's done in spirit and in truth, that it's grounded and revolves around God's word. God's promised salvation was being worked out in Jesus. And it was right before there is her gracious God. He's not confined to a specific place like Mount Gerizim or Jerusalem. She didn't have to go to a certain place to find a gracious God. And the Lord's answer gets her thinking. It jumpstarts her mind like a battery jumper turning on a dead car on a cold Minnesota wintry day. She begins to think about the Messiah, for he knows that when he comes, he will answer all things. And then Jesus reveals his identity to the woman and says, I who speak to you am he. As his words finish that sentence, the disciples come back, and they're shocked, and they're surprised as well. They see Jesus talking with a woman, and with a Samaritan one at that. and they decide not to put their foot in their mouths like they often do, and they keep their mouths shut. They don't ask, what are you doing here? Why are you talking with her? And the woman leaves the scene. But she forgets something. She forgets that jar of water. In her excitement as she's going back to the town to tell the others, she forgets what she came out there for. She goes back to include the others who excluded her. She tells them about Jesus. She says, come see a man that told me all I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Her sinful past was overshadowed by the Savior's grace. It becomes part of her story. And her witness had great results. Many in that town believed because of her testimony. And so they beg Jesus to stay with them. And he does so for 2 days. And when the time is up, they tell her, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves and we know that he is indeed the Savior of the world. Her fellow deplorables, the unloved, the lowly, the impure, despised, and sinful came to the same conclusion. He is indeed the Savior of the world. And with that, John wraps up our story. We never again hear from this Samaritan woman. We never find out her name, or even where she's come, or even she comes from. We don't even know anything else about these other people. But what we do know is this, that her life forever changed that day as Jesus crossed social and racial boundaries to give her the true living water, which alone can quench the thirst of the soul. In his name, amen. Now may the grace of God and the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in with Christ Jesus, the one who quenches our thirst. Amen.